text for today is recorded in Philippians chapter 1, verse 20, the second verse of our lesson for today. There, St. Paul says, I eagerly expect and hope that I will in no way be ashamed, but will have sufficient courage, so that now, as always, Christ will be exalted in my body, whether by life or by death. This is the text. Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. I think, David, the first time that we come here today to take part in the installation of Dr. David Coles as the LCMS World Mission Professor of Historical Theology at Concordia Theological Seminary. It is an important time for David and for us. It is yet another step on the journey of following Jesus, a journey that always requires courage. I think, David, the first time that I met you was at a Latin America Theological Education Conference in Venezuela. I was sitting beside you, and you were taking notes on the presentations. You took some of the notes in English, then you switched over to Spanish, and then to French. Well, everyone knows that French and Spanish are Romance languages, and if you took your Latin really seriously, you can understand quite a bit of them. So President Wenthe could probably do that too. But then your next notes were in Hebrew, and not in the square letters that we read in the Hebrew Bible, but in the cursive script of modern Hebrew. And then I knew that you were in a different league. I have seen also the demonstration of considerable courage in your work. There were years of distinguished service in Venezuela in training men for pastoral ministry and participation in an innovative theological education by extension program. Then when the seminary in São Paulo, Brazil, decided to begin a mission institute for the training of students from other Latin American countries, your ability to communicate in both Spanish and Portuguese, as well as the excellence of your scholarship, made you the logical choice for that program. No less courage will be required in this assignment. You will be involved in shaping the next generation of the ministry of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. What you say and do not say, what you do and do not do, will influence the Missouri Synod of the future. Needless to say, there are many, many people away from this campus who will be watching and praying that you and your colleagues will have success as you prepare men for a more excellent ministry. Pastors and people of the Missouri Synod are praying that this faculty will have sufficient courage to equip men, not just to hold on to the people who are already a part of the kingdom of God, but are prepared to get out into the world where we are not in control and to share there the good news of Jesus. St. Paul was well aware of the ambiguities in following Jesus. You could never be certain what the future would bring. The Philippians were a very special people for St. Paul. Philippi was the first place where he had worked in Europe. Lydia, a respected merchant, had been among his first converts, and she had insisted that Paul's work be centered in her home. Even after Paul had left the city, the Philippian Christians kept up their contacts with Paul, regularly sending him assistance for his work. But it was never safe to preach the gospel. Remember Paul's experience in that very city. One day he was a respected preacher. The next day he was a victim of a riot and spent the night nursing his wounds in jail along with his colleague Silas. It wasn't enough that they were in jail, but then there was that powerful earthquake that shook the building so hard that all the cells popped open. And the next thing that Paul knew, he had an opportunity to speak about the Christian faith to the jailer and his family, and in short order, they all wanted to be baptized. The next morning, the city officials wanted him out of town, and when they heard that Paul was a Roman citizen, they were even willing to personally escort him out. What a roller coaster. For Paul, it never ended. He was in prison again when he wrote this letter. For him, it was not only a matter of being confined, but there were unreliable people who wanted to use his imprisonment to destroy his witness to the gospel. While Paul was locked away in a situation where he could not defend himself, they were out there preaching another gospel, trying to drive a wedge between Paul and those who had first heard the gospel, the good news from him, and that had to hurt. What is a person going to say in such a situation? And even those like the Philippians who wanted to help, did they really help? They had sent Epaphroditus to take care of Paul. The Roman government had no obligation to feed or care for people in prison, and since Paul was far from home and family, he needed someone to cook and clean. It was great to have help, but then what happened? Epaphroditus became sick and nearly died. The man who had been sent to help St. Paul bear his burdens became a burden himself. And then there were Paul's special circumstances. He was in prison. The Roman system of justice preferred to work on the basis of confessions, and so there was the endless questioning. There were the constant reminders that St. Paul was not in control of his own life, that his fate rested in the hands of other people, and there were the implied threats that if Paul did not produce what was demanded, he could be put to death in one terrible way or another. I would guess that there was more than one occasion as St. Paul was escorted back to his cell after questioning that he said to himself, "Wow, they almost got me that time. They almost broke me." What people say and do, don't say and don't do, can be devastating, can destroy our sense of who we are and how we fit into God's will and work in the world. I would be surprised if St. Paul did not ask himself on more than one occasion, "Can I go back one more time and do it again? I'm so tired, so weary of the struggle. I just don't have the strength or sufficient courage to carry on." But to the Philippians, he writes, "I eagerly expect and hope that I will in no way be ashamed, but will have sufficient courage so that now, as always, Christ will be exalted in my body." Yes, there was the possibility that Paul might be broken, but Paul did not think it would happen. Why? Because he had withstood this kind of treatment multiple times before, and they had not succeeded in breaking him yet? No, that kind of whistling in the dark bravado would be a pretty shaky foundation. No. St. Paul's confidence is based on something quite other. It is, as St. Paul says in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, a letter that he wrote about the same time as Philippians, "Not that we are sufficient in ourselves to claim anything for ourselves, but our sufficiency comes from God." And then he goes on to say, "Such confidence as this is ours through Christ before God." And there you have it. Sufficient confidence leads to sufficient courage. Courage is not something that we can generate from within ourselves based on our own experiences, but it is based on the work of the Lord. He is the one who brings us into the presence of the Father. And we can have sufficient courage to stand even there because Jesus stands beside us. All that alienates us from God and from one another has been taken care of by Him. In His suffering and death, we have forgiveness and life. That's the message of the Scriptures, that God is not angry with His people, but for Jesus' sake, He accompanies them on their journeys. Through word and sacrament, He comes to us again and again to give us that gift that we need the most, the forgiveness of sins. I hope, David, that LCMS World Mission and Concordia Theological Seminary and the congregations of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod will be fully supportive of you and your work. I hope that we will, through our support and prayers, make it just a little easier for you to have sufficient courage. But I want to say also to you that we are counting on you to help us find sufficient courage. We ask that you keep on reminding us of the forgiveness and life, the strength and joy that we have in Jesus. We ask you to remember us, LCMS World Mission, the seminary, and the pastors and people of the Missouri Synod in your prayers, that together we might be the people that God would have us be as we bear witness to the world. None of us can foresee the future, but we are confident about the past. Through Jesus' saving work, communicated through word and sacrament, we are forgiven and equipped to follow where He leads. Now, with the courage that He has given, let us be about our Father's business for Jesus' sake. Amen. Peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in faith in Christ Jesus to life everlasting. Amen.